Welcome to Witchful Thinking, a podcast all about being a witchy woman in the modern world we live in. Each week, you can listen to these two witches banter about witchcraft, spell work, current events, intuitive wellness, spirituality, astrology, tarot, and much more. Our goal here on Witchful Thinking is to create content that informs and centers our listeners and helps them look at the world around them in a much more meaningful, magical way. Thanks so much for tuning in, and be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram for daily updates. Hello, 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 everybody. We're alive. Lindsay's dancing with her little witch cauldron cup. You can't see it, but it's a fucking vibe. White witch.
Yo, you know, I'm so stoked. I'm so happy we're back. Oh, my word.
Hello, everybody.
Wow. Hello, friends.
We have so much to talk about. I literally don't even know where to start. I'm nervous.
It's been so long. It's like hopping back on a bike, but you know it's a tricycle, but it's all in your head.
Yeah, I'm just like, dude, what has this podcast been about for the past like 100 bajillion episodes? How this is the longest, that is the longest hiatus ever. Like, ever. There's never been one longer than that. We have not recorded since February.
I just want to throw it out there that I have been here on pause waiting because you've been having your brat girl summer.
Shut the fuck up. Get the hell out of here. Get out. I really, you know what? It's shut up.
It's been so cute to watch though. You have Brooke on her, is it your personal? It's just your other account, Lil Witch. And just, you've just been like loving your life this summer. So like, good for you.
I really have. I moved and just, I don't know, I'm just like, just really coming back into my more feminine side, I think, just like having my own space, which is nice. And yeah, I don't know. I've really just been like having like a pop princess summer. That's the thing is like, if you know me, you know, like, I don't really listen. My whole life, I have not been, like, a pop girl. Like, I've always gone for, like, just darker sounding music. Just, like, really, like, I listened to, like, a lot of, like, Bon Iver and, like, the Civil Wars and stuff when I was younger. Just, like, darker. What the hell is it called? I think it's called, like, somebody one time called it, like, gothic indie or something.
Goth pop? No.
No.
This is literally my job. I should know this.
I can't think. I've just never been like a pop girly. And then like the past several months, it's just all it has been is Chapel Roan, Charlie XCX, Sabrina Carpenter, Olivia O'Brien. It's just like, I don't know. Something within me is just like, I'm getting this return back to like my girlish teenage roots a little bit. I think kind of like healing a little bit of my little Brooke.
Oh,
but yeah. Wait, look at my phone case. It's Pink Pony Club.
Oh my word!
Yeah, it's fucking
pink cowboy boots everywhere.
Yeah, Pink Pony Club. I'm gonna keep on dancing down in West Hollywood.
Whatever makes you happy. That's good though. That's, you know, I think we're on a similar journey right now. I know we have so many magical things to talk about, but like, I'm reading this book called I Don't Want to Be an Empath Anymore by Aura North. And it's talking about making your inner child happy. And that's like how you heal your inner child. So if you're going back and making your teenage self happy, that's good. You know what I mean? Like, that's healing. She talks about it's a fascinating book. I highly recommend it to anyone who listens to this podcast. She talks about soul fragmentation and how trauma like fragments parts of your soul and pulls it apart. And in order to heal and get back to your true self, you need to like heal that, pull it back together. And so me, if you've been doing that to heal your inner teen, I've been like healing my inner child by like learning about animals again, playing Pokemon video games. That's been my summer.
I was gonna ask, what were you playing earlier when you said you were playing video games?
It's like my autistic hyperfixation that I've not been able to get rid of since I was 10. And I play the Pokemon games like Almost all of them. I took a break, like we're talking 2000s when I was in high school, at a high school, focusing on my music career. I missed all the games during that era, and there were some good ones, and now like they're collector's items and they're like hundreds of dollars. I can't find them anywhere. But yeah, I just throw on Pokemon and just pretend I'm like 10 again and I'm cool and I have friends to play with, but I don't. And there's this thing going around the internet. It's like, oh, these are the friendship Pokemons. You need friends to trade with to get them. And I'm like, I don't have any of these Pokemon because I don't have any friends to play with.
That is so rude.
I know. I asked a friend of mine in the industry to play, and I asked for his friend code, and he ghosted me. And I was like, well, and I see him at a wedding in January. I'm gonna be like, you, sir, I'm gonna give him hell. But I think that stuff's precious. Like, you got to just go back to like what genuinely made you happy, because as you get older, you just get swept away in adulting, and it's no fun sometimes.
It reminds me of like the early pandemic when everybody was playing, myself included, playing Animal Crossing. And it was so therapeutic because it was just this whole little world where no disease lived and ever no masks and nothing, you know, no COVID like killing us all, and we could just go play, be little
Yeah.
creatures. And then I got overwhelmed with it and I stopped playing.
I find that happens with those type of games. Like, it just, you got too much and you're like, something's gonna die.
Yeah. Maybe, you know what? No, I'm not even gonna say. Maybe one day I'll play again. I'm never gonna play that fucking game again. I'm a Sims girl.
What era of Sims though?
All of them.
Really?
I've
With
been playing
dedication.
Sims. I've been playing Sims since like Sims 2 or Sims 3. But I'm one of those people like I'll play for like 3 days straight, and then I won't touch it for like a year. And then I get like real hyper fixated on like building the house and building the like creating the characters. And it's just, I love doing crazy. Well, not like crazy, but like I just love having a lot of little different games going at the same time. But then I get like overwhelmed because I'm like, if I don't play them all, they're gonna play themselves. Like they're like the autonomy's turned on. So then I get freaked out and panicked, and I'm like, they're gonna do things that I don't want them to do. And then I get pissed off and I just shut the whole thing down.
Yeah, that's when it gets too stressful. It's like, this isn't relaxing anymore. If I have to like think about this too much and project manage and make too many decisions, I'm out.
Yeah, just forget. Like at that point, I'll just go watch somebody on YouTube play Sims. Like if I really, decision fatigue is so real.
It's so real, especially in the jobs we do. Oh my word.
It's like I just want to sit back and have somebody else handle all the work for me.
Yeah, I just wanted not have to think. Just tell me what to do. Like that meme going around. It's like when you're a kid, don't tell me what to do. Now as an adult, please tell me exactly what to do in order. Thanks.
Yeah. And then when you're adult, nobody wants to hold your hand about it. Everyone's like, you're an adult, figure it out. It's like, you know what? You're right.
You're right, but like my parents didn't raise me and the school system failed me.
Yeah. The only thing I learned ha that was helpful in school is how to write a check.
They actually taught you that?
That's it. And you know what? Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, my grandma might have been the one that did that. It might not even have been school.
Yeah.
Look, if I learned that in school, it would have been in like home ec. We had like a really weird home ec setup. Like, we did some weird things.
Really?
Yeah, like things that normally you wouldn't be like, oh, that's like home ec related. You'd think like baking and sewing and shit, but like maybe we did learn. We should have learned how to like, you know, change a tire or something. I'd still be screwed.
I had home ec and I learned how to match clothing colors to my skin type and bake a cake. That's literally Catholic school. We were living in like the 50s, a Roman Catholic school. It
Match,
was
they were teaching you how to like they were teaching you how to understand like your undertones and stuff.
Yeah, which is strange because we had a sewing class, but they didn't teach that. And it was fashion. It was like a fashion course that my friends took. And all you did was like, you were sewing patterns, right? My school, I don't know, our curriculum was like from the 50s and they just like didn't update it. Small town weirdness.
That's very interesting. I feel like I've seen videos on TikTok of people being like, if you can't figure out the colors that look the best with your skin, like try this or whatever. And it's like people, I don't remember exactly what it is, but it's like people showing like the screen will split in half and it shows like your face up against like bright yellow or like green or what or purple or whatever the hell. I did not think that'd be something they'd teach you in like Catholic school.
I know, and Jesus loved me, like that was the bottom line. But jokes on them because, like, I'm here now doing this and I only wear black, so. But yeah, but like that was like, speaking of school, like I look back and I had one teacher who, he was my biology teacher, so of course he was like a free thinker. He used to be in a punk band, so this like said everything. And he took 2 days out of the year to teach us about life. He's like, we're not learning about mitochondria or like, the plant cells today. He's like, I'm teaching you about life. And he just like, would, there was a screen projector thing in front of the chalkboard and he'd like roll it up. And then he had this whole thing and he pretty much told us, like, this teacher changed my life. He pretty much told us like how we could not live off of minimum wage. Like we had to further our education and get good jobs. And I'm like, oh my word. He did that because he was like, punk rock. And he's like, the school system's bullshit. We need to actually teach these teenagers, like, they need to do something with their lives. He sadly didn't get to the point of mortgages and taxes and stuff. I feel like we all would have fell asleep. And now I'm like, but I need that info. So,
Oh my God, it's crazy though, because like looking back, like wow, I might have bought a house by now had I known all that information. But what class of 16-year-old kids is gonna fucking sit and listen to that? They're not.
no, because they're too cushy, and they like, I miss those days of not having to worry about anything. It's like if you're not worrying about it, it's like you panic like your mid-20s and you're like, oh. So,
Yeah.
but yeah, good times. So, my girl, what have we been up to? You have been through, oh my God, you have been through so much. I've been through so much. We need a little catch up.
Shall we take it month by month, Queen?
Yeah. It's needed.
Okay, so I think the last time we posted was like February. So, February, I remember on the last episode, I was about to go to France. So I went to France. And if you follow me on my personal Instagram, you've obviously like kept up with, you've seen where I've been, you've seen what I've done, but I will never go back to Paris again in my life. What is wrong with you people? What is wrong? I'll say it loud and proud. I will say it loud and proud. And you know what? I feel like probably no Parisians would listen to this podcast because Americans seem, I mean, you're not American, but like I'm American.
I'm American by default. I have no choice.
Oh.
If you're Canadian, you're American by default. Like we're
Well,
attached at
I
the
was gonna say, like, you really don't get like that much. Like, I don't see the massive difference between Canadians and Americans because, like, you guys act like I work with like two Canadian, like, citizens now, citizens, people. I work with two Canadians, super nice. Like, I'm just like, oh my God. And like, the way you guys say the word out always just like takes me out.
out,
Ew.
out, about,
Ew.
about. It's so bad.
No, I love it. I freaking love it. It just brings me so much joy. But there's no way any Parisians, probably no French people, to be honest, listen to this podcast because just the way that like I was perceived in France, I just didn't like it. I didn't like
You have to tell us why. What happened?
so initially when I got to France, that was my first time. For anyone who doesn't know, as if I didn't like panic enough about it and like, the leading up to the trip. That was my first international trip. That was my first time flying alone. That was my first time navigating customs alone. That was my first time being in a foreign country ever. I got there and I have never been so happy to see my best friend in my life. I blasted through people and ran into her arms. And I immediately, like, upon us getting like on the metro to like go into Paris, I was like, oh, we're not in Kansas anymore, Dorothy. Like, I learned pretty quickly just the staring is just next level. The dirty looks are next level. And like a lot of people, I want to like preface this by saying that since then I have understood 7 out of 10 times it's not because these people are trying to give you a dirty look. They're trying to just observe you, and it's normal in their culture to just stare and observe. They're not trying to be nasty. They're not trying to be judgmental, but that's not how American culture works. So I see you staring at me, and I'm immediately thinking, like, what the, do you want to fucking go? Like, are we gonna tussle right now on this train? Like, I will get you so hard. Stop looking at me like that. But by the end of my trip, I was there like 8 days. By the end, I was staring right back, glaring right back, and that sort of like made people like, stop and just be like, they would just like stop, and it was great. But I had such a good time. I saw so many beautiful things that I've always wanted to see my entire life. Also, I will say the Eiffel Tower is a piece of junk. Everybody who says it is right. I had so much fun though, because Anna and I were making all of these goofy ass TikToks in front of it. And like, I was practicing for my future music video career. And it was just like the funniest time ever. It's just so crazy how these like monumental things in life seem so big. And then you get next to them and you're like, that hunk of shit. That's what the that y'all save up your whole lives to come and see this rusty, dusty. The entire area was muddy, dirty, puddles of water everywhere. Just, and we were right up on it. Like, we were practically up under that bitch. And obviously there's places in Paris you can see the Eiffel Tower from like a good distance, and you still feel like you're right up on it, but you're not up in like the dirty dirt part. We were up in the dirty dirt part, and we were smoking like CBD joints, because in France, everybody's fucking smoking. If you don't smoke, everyone's looking at you like, where is your cigarette? Like, what the fuck? What?
Je ne sais quoi.
Je ne sais quoi. Like, I don't even know what that means, but like,
I don't know what.
I don't know what. I will say my top three favorite things about France. It ignited a love inside of me so deep for chocolate croissants that I never had before. And now every week I have to have at least one somewhere. And they're never going to be as good as those buttery, crispy, mouth-watering, delectable, absolutely beautiful croissants. Nowhere near as good. Second thing, I started my travel collection. So I decided every country I go to, I'm going to get a perfume specific to that country. And I did. I got, I forget what the fuck it's called. Really, it was like such a tiny bottle. But every time I smell it, I'm just transported. I'm just transported back to Paris with my best friend. And let's see, what else? I think there was like one more thing. Oh, yeah. One more thing that I really loved about France was the, I think it's called Bouillon Restaurant. It was like a kind of like, apparently it was like a super popular restaurant, but it's like real French food, and you can get like a four course meal for like practically less than 20 euros. And it's
That
like
good.
good food. Like, it was really good. I will say, so a couple things happened. I don't even know if I've even told you this yet. One, we're sitting at this restaurant, minding our business, eating our food. As you know, in European countries, you're sitting right up on people. It's like this one big, like, conglomerate of dinner guests. And my friend is on her phone, and she's just like texting somebody something. This girl sitting beside her to the right leans over, and she's reading my friend's text message, like reading. I was like, I know you people are fucking nosy. I didn't know you were this nosy. And I like tapped on the table, and I'm like, hey, Like, stop. No. Like, that's so, I'm like, in what world is that not weird and not rude? Like, she, and it wasn't even like she was kind of looking, like she was leaning over and straight up re, it was as if she was at dinner with us and my friend had said like, hey, look at this on my phone. Like, you would have thought that they like knew each other. It was that insane.
Strange.
It's like, y'all are fucking weird. And then another time at the same restaurant, but a different location, we're sitting down and she was showing me something on her phone, which granted, like a lot of like French people and Europeans in general don't, you just don't have your phone out at dinner. It's just rude, whatever. But like, what? Y'all already know we're American. Fuck it. We ball. Like, okay. So she has her phone out and she's showing me something and it was like a super, super loud restaurant. So she had the volume turned up like just a little bit louder, but it wasn't crazy. And it was only for like a second. It was like a 5 second video. This dude is sitting beside her and his girlfriend is sitting beside me. And so we're like across the table from each other. And he looks at her and he says something to her in French. And she, at that moment, like she looks at him and she's like, she says what? But she says it like, 'cause she's in disbelief. So then he says it to her in English and he goes, turn your phone off. And she says back to him in French, like, no, I understood you, but like, who do you think you are? Like, you're not gonna like tell me to turn my phone. Like, he didn't say, can you turn it down? He didn't say, like, that's kind of loud. Can you know? He just straight up told her to turn her phone off. And she was like, no, I'm not going to. And then his girlfriend, who was sitting beside me, like I looked over at her and she just like clearly looked embarrassed. Like she
Oh
looked like she
no.
didn't want to be with like a dude who felt so inclined to like say something like that to complete strangers. They also, I don't think they were French because they were speaking in Russian and they had very
Oh.
thick Russian accents. And I was like, I don't know if they're on a date or what, but like she, it was kind of one of those moments where like you ever like been with your parent or something and they do something in public that is, you're just like, oh my God, stop. Like that's kind of how she seemed like she felt
Oh
about this
shit.
guy. And I was just like, you can,
So awkward.
yes. I was like, you, like that is so crazy. Like what? I really didn't meet, I would not say that we had one dinner where the waiter was super charming, very, very nice guy. He was just really, it was the only nice like service that we had because obviously like service is so different in
Yeah,
Europe.
you don't tip.
Yeah, exactly. And they don't really seem like they give a fuck like whether you eat
No.
or not. They're just like, you're here, like fuck, I guess you want food or something. But yeah,
I think that's just France.
it is. I'm just like, I'm dead ass. I'm just like, what the hell is like, y'all are crazy for that. But yeah, that was February. February was, it was a good time. I went and saw everything French, the Louvre, the freaking catacombs. Catacombs were crazy.
It's the best. It's the coolest. Yeah,
Dude.
it's wild.
I read something about the catacombs. Apparently there's only like been a few people who died down there. And one of them died like a few feet away from the exit. Like he had was wandering around in the dark for days and then he died right before he made it out.
Oh my word.
Isn't that like such a joke? It's so sad.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me though. Like, was he just doing crazy stuff? And there, I know I've heard a few stories, but like people just, they want to keep going down the tunnels that aren't available to the public access, and then
I don't remember
they don't come
how long
out.
ago it was. It might have been so long ago that like things weren't closed off the way that they are now, like the certain scary ones. But like, I don't, and another thing is like, I don't know if he went through one of the official openings or if he went through like an unofficial catacomb opening. That freaks me out so bad that you can just like enter them from random spots in the city that someone has found and then potentially never come out because there's catacomb people. I fully believe there are catacomb people.
Oh, I believe it too. There's a movie called Like it's a true, it's one of our sayings,
as
above,
above,
so below. And it's a movie about, it's, yeah, watch it. Oh my God. If you have, I don't recommend if you have claustrophobia, but yeah, they like, it has, I think it has to do with like going into another dimension, but it's just madness. It's like next level.
dude. Yeah.
Yeah. Good
Such
old France.
good old France. I will be going back to France next year, but I will not be concentrating all of my time in Paris because I don't think my best friend will be living in Paris anymore. Thank God.
It's, you know what, the first time I went there, like, no disrespect to France or Paris, but I was really disappointed because I went in the daytime and it was just so dirty. And then as the night went on with my crew, this was back when I drank, we got spectacularly drunk. Like we got in a race of who could piggyback each other up to the Sacred Heart, like the stairs going up to the Sacred Heart. So like I was on one guy's back and my singer was on another guy's back and we were in a race. We shouldn't have been doing that. I'm shocked we didn't break bones because we were
Especially
wasted.
in front of that specific church, get the f
Well, when you're a satanic black metal band, like you're just gonna do what you're gonna do, like, you know, especially that black metal band with the t-shirt they have. So, you know, we're just going up. But when we got to the top of the Sacred Heart and saw the city, I was like, at that point, I'm like, oh, we had fun. We're drunk. The site's beautiful. But like, listen, all I got to see Notre Dame before it burned to the ground. And we didn't do that, by
Oh.
the way. So, you know, like, and I cried. I saw, like, Notre Dame's beautiful. I was actually shocked. There was quite a bit of water damage to like the artwork at the time. But it's like, at least seeing that. And I found Lilith on the front. There actually was Lilith on the front doors, and not a lot of people know that. And I like found her. I was like, oh, it's my girl. So yeah, but like France is something else. Like I think my favorite part of France was the pigeon lady outside of Notre Dame who just was covered in pigeons and had a sack of grain. And it was just, she was living her best life. Those were
Wait,
her
it's like
familiar.
Home Alone, the pigeon lady.
Yeah, very.
How cute.
Very. Yeah, it was kind of cute.
I love that. I can't talk about like, oh, you can't be doing sacrilegious shit outside of the church. We were making TikToks to like the most vulgar music right on the steps of the church. Like, when you've seen one church in Europe, you've seen them all. Like, they are all, you know, you walk around, everybody's real quiet. You fucking like put your quarters in the thing to light a little candle. Like, come on. But they're all so pretty. We don't have that type of stuff here.
We really don't. It's unfortunate. But yeah, France. So that was your February, correct?
What was your February?
I turned 38. That was it.
She turned 38.
I turned 38. And then I was like, goddamn, 2 more years. It's the 40s. So I'm like, all right, I gotta make these last 2 years count. And then like I just started with no rocket fuel in the tank, but we'll get to that later. So then there was March.
What was March?
I went to the Junos here
Oh,
in Canada.
yeah.
I did. Yeah. So for those who don't know, it's kind of cute. Like anyone who's been to the Grammy Music Awards in the States would kind of like be like, oh, so cute. So we have the Junos here. And I went and I saw it and it felt like a convention. I was 20 feet away from Nelly Furtado. She has not aged a day. She definitely does her own spells because like that girl is not aging. It's called money, but we won't talk about it. We won't talk about that. Yeah, but I went to Halifax. Never been to Halifax before. It was butt ass cold. Walked around. It's so tiny, but it felt like being in like Scotland. It definitely had Scotland vibes, just tiny Scotland. And everyone was like super nice. That was it. That's all I did in March. I literally prepared. Like you were like, girl, you gotta film all this stuff. Anyone who saw my reels and TikToks and me doing a transformation into a gothic queen. That was all Brooke's idea. That was all her editing. That was just me attempting to be an influencer.
It was you just tapping into trends, and we're gonna fucking get back there, ma'am.
I can't wait. I can't
Life was
wait.
lifing.
Life did the life. Yes, it did. So, but it was an interesting experience. Like, you know, and everyone, like, if you, it's weird. If you know who's who in heavy metal, people would come up to me and say hi. But like the whole other pop star end of things, they just like, who's she, like, you know? And I'm just all like, I have no idea who half of you are either. It's fine. I don't listen to pop music anymore. But I mean, yeah, just Nelly Furtado stole the show. That's all I'm gonna say. Just Queen still got it.
I love Nelly Furtado so much.
Me too. She's our one of our icons, even though she's technically Portuguese, but she's ours. We're keeping her up
Oh,
there in Canada.
don't you get me started on Portuguese.
Oh yeah, so then you, when did you go to Portugal?
I actually went in April. I'm trying to
Crazy.
figure out what the hell I did in March. I don't think I did anything in March. I think in March I was just recovering from France.
Life.
Yeah, pretty much. I was just like scrolling through my Instagram and I'm like, okay, I see France, 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 France. Then I really wasn't posting for a month, and then all of a sudden I was in Portugal. Yes.
That was
Mind.
funny too, because I was like, another trip already? You're like, bye. Like, okay, girl,
Hey, bye, losers. That wasn't really me. It was like, get in, losers. We're going to Europe again. Just was here 30 days ago. Can't get enough.
I just picture you like curled up in the with the upper compartment of the plane, like trying to close the hatch. You're like, bye. The
Hi.
overhead storage, bye. You with a pillow and a blanket in the overhead storage. I'm out of here, guys. Peace.
See, no. Portugal, as much as I disliked the culture in France and the unfriendliness in France, it was a complete opposite in Portugal. I want to go back so fucking bad. It was a girls' trip. It was me, my friend who lives in France now, and then our mutual friend Claudia, who, if you're listening, hi Claudia, she's such a queen. But we, Claudia and I, met Anna over there in Lisbon, and it was just, oh my God, it was just freaking best. Like, the food was amazing, the coffee was actually good, the cardamom buns, oh my God, I'm dying for a cardamom bun. If anybody knows where the hell you can get a legitimate good cardamom bun in America, tell me. I'll
Just gotta
fly there.
find a Portuguese bakery near you. Just Google that shit.
I need it. Like, oh my
She's
God.
already on it, guys. I can
I
see it
am.
in her face.
What are you fucking?
Because you literally, you stare at the screen and then like the light goes up and I hear typing and I'm like, oh.
Wait, there aren't any in Richmond. The only one is like in fucking Massachusetts.
That's just rude. There's, listen, it's Canada. There's got to be one near me.
What are you gonna do? Send me some.
Oh, they won't, girl. They're gonna be croutons by the time.
For real. Dude, speaking of croutons. So, I didn't think that I could love croissants any more than I already did. And then in Lisbon, we were at, where the fuck were we? I think we were in Sintra and we were like waiting on our Uber and we went into this like tiny little grocery store, which, like, what is up with the fucking aisles in convenience and grocery stores being like not even a foot wide?
It's like it's, yeah, no, like a
Dude,
library.
somebody farts and you huff it immediately.
Oh.
Like, you can't go. That was the tiniest little grocery store I've ever been in, but they had these little bagged chocolate croissants. I don't know how they were so well like preserved, because it's obviously not America, everything's not packed with sugar and preservatives and chemicals, but these little fuckers, they were called, what, how do I say it,
I can't
croissant.
help you here.
God, they're so good. And they're literally just like, it's a bag of bite-sized chocolate croissants,
Oh,
but
wow.
the chocolate in them is like you would think that you just got like a,
I think I've had those. Are they chocolate filled?
yes.
Oh my God. I had them like when I was really young. I think I know what you're talking about,
I'm
but
trying so
it's
hard to Google them. Chippy cow, chippy cow.
okay. Everyone, we're gonna get a PO box, and you need to send these to Brooke.
Literally, I can, oh, I just realized I can order them from a Portuguese market online.
It has been done.
I don't know if I'm saying it right. If I'm not, somebody please correct me, but it's Chipicao. Chipicao?
Chipico?
Chipico? Chipicao?
Portuguese is a very different language. I wouldn't even try.
It's so different. And we were talking like in a head shop in like Lisbon. We were talking to a shop owner, and I was asking him, you know, like, how difficult is it to like live as like a non-native speaker in Portugal? And he was like, this is one of the easiest cities to live in the world. Even if he was like, you can spend your whole life here and not speak a word of Portuguese and you'll feel right at home. And he was he was an actual like Portuguese man, like he had lived there his whole life. And he was just like, yeah, like he was like, we're not like, you know, like France or whatever, like we don't isolate people. And then Anna looks over and she's like, I live in France. And he was like, I hope you don't pick up that awful French attitude.
That's Portuguese though. I have Portuguese friends and they're very much like, they don't like people having to stick up their butt. Like, that's just the best way I could describe it.
Yes, it just, I felt so welcome. I did not feel uncomfortable around, like, we didn't get like catcalled. I remember like knowing, the one thing that stood out the most to me is when we were walking through the streets, like men would get out of our way instead of like us feeling like we had to go around them. Like they would just get out of our way. They wouldn't think twice about it. They didn't like look at you and go, how are you doing? Or like, you should smile more. Like, it was just so, so nice. A lot of dudes in France were perverts. Like, they were gross.
I could see that.
But, yeah, it was just, like, so, so refreshing. It was just such a good time. It really, I don't feel like I got to see enough. Like, I want to go back and go to Porto. I want to see more in
Yes.
Sintra. Like,
it was, oh my God.
I loved it.
It's so beautiful over there. Like, hands down, two places I would move to in Europe is either Portugal or the Netherlands. Like, they're both so gorgeous. And you can speak English there, no issues, you know?
Yeah, like, that's the thing. Like, at this point in my life, I'm not going to be learning any new languages, I don't think. I really don't think that if, you know,
It's commitment. It's a big commitment. I don't got, like, I'm already committed to a man and an apartment and a cat. That's enough.
See,
enough
I can't do all that. Like, I no.
No. No. No. No. But I have to say, your trip looked fabulous, and you and your girlies were very like three of cups energy, like the girls partying with the cups. You look like you had the best time ever, and I'm so happy you got to have that experience.
It really was amazing. I'm texting you the Chippy Cows.
Okay, please do. They're probably not vegan, but it'll give me a hit of nostalgia from my childhood because.
Oh, fuck, I forgot.
It's okay. Don't worry about it. It's by choice. It's by choice to suffer this way.
No, they're definitely not vegan. They're definitely not vegan.
So my sister's in the Leo season. That's when her birthday falls. And we were out for dinner last night at an Italian restaurant that had some vegan options, but it was mainly like dairy and meat, and every time like a pizza went by or something with cheese on it went by, I was like, God damn it. Why do I have to be so animal lip?
You just smell it and you're just like,
I salivate. I still like salivate when I smell cheese, especially cooked cheese. And it was like a comfort food as a kid.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. I don't miss meat, but cheese was like really hard to give up. Really hard.
Yeah, cheese would be the one thing for me that I don't like. I would struggle. I mean, I've tried being vegan twice and I did struggle hard with it. Meat, I'm just like, eh, whatever. There's plenty of like alternatives, but like,
oh yeah, I remember these
mozzarella stick,
the good old mozza sticks. Oh my
mozza
goodness.
Sticks, some cheddar jack. Oh, I had brie cheese the other night.
I'm so jealous. And it's like, listen, if there's any vegans listening, like, slow your roll. If you're angry about this, like, leave me alone. Like, listen, I am animal lib. I am, but also like, I do miss, like, I think the cheese, I miss, oh, just old cheddar. Straight up, you know you're vanilla when you're like, I just love old cheddar. I just miss old cheddar. but there was so like Havarti, oh my God, Swiss cheese,
I love
like
Havarti.
there was times where in catering when I was at my old job when I was traveling, like I'd just hold the cheese tray and smell it just because it was a comfort food. I didn't know any better. My mom's like, here, have the milk of the cow. And I'm like, okay, mom, whatever you say. Not realizing I'm like really allergic to it, but yeah. Cheese is, oh, and cheese in Europe just looks so much better and smells so much
Dude, wait. One thing I was not prepared for when I had pizza in Portugal and I got like a four cheese pizza. One of the cheeses in America, you get a four cheese pizza, it's gonna be like maybe Monterey Jack, cheddar, mozzarella, and like one other cheese, one very tame cheese. Not
like.
in Portugal. This fucking pizza had fucking blue cheese on it. That
Oh
is
my
not a cheese
God.
that you can just like throw at somebody and like not let them know. Like I saw four cheese pizza. I was like, oh, that's safe.
It's like mold. Like blue cheese is straight up mold. It is mold.
It stunk to the hot. I fucking hated that. That was so
Smells like
nasty.
gym socks.
It does. It does. The smell of it, especially hot blue cheese.
Oh yeah, no, don't even get me started. That's why one cheese I do not miss. I do not salivate when someone walks through. When I see blue cheese, I'm like, oh, I need to go vomit in the can.
Vomit in the can.
It's just next level wrong. It's just, oh, don't get me started. I could compare like what blue cheese smells like all day, but then we're gonna get our listeners vomiting, and I just don't want to do that. I want to put a trigger warning on this episode.
Cheese, please.
Yeah. Cheese.
To any vegans listening, live and let live. If you don't eat cheese, that's your choice.
Yeah, that's your
Still your
choice.
choice.
I'll freely talk about whatever. Like, I've been vegan, what, 12 years? No one is perfectly vegan. Sometimes you eat something and after you're like, oh shit. Not everyone tells you the truth, but I'm not going to get mad at myself or anyone else. Like the whole silly thing. Like, have you seen the movie Scott Pilgrim where there's like the vegan police and
No.
then like he by accident find it's such a silly movie. It's like based on a video game and it's very comical. It's actually filmed in Toronto where my sister lives in the West End. And they find out he ate or drank something that wasn't vegan, and the vegan police came and took away his vegan superpowers. It was so lame. It was so lame, but it's just like some people out there be like that. And I'm like, dude, go talk to your therapist. Leave me alone. Don't put this hate in this direction. I ain't got time for that.
Dude, I tried twice and I've never been like successful being vegan. I don't eat like enough as it is. And it's really
That's
hard.
how you keep that figure. God damn.
What?
That's how you keep that figure. I eat too much. I'm like Jabba the Hutt over here right now.
Oh my God. I don't know. Honestly, like I would say it's kind of just like it runs in my family. My sister is pretty small, and my biological mother was pretty small up until she like decided she was gonna like trash her body with, drugs and alcohol. But like, I don't know. I'm wondering when like, the metabolism will slow down. But again, Lexapro does not give you much of an appetite. I eat like maybe two full meals a day, if that. I just like don't get hungry.
Oh, wow.
Not, it's really not good for you like at all, but at the same time it's like I do really enjoy food more when I'm eating.
That's good.
I know I'm gonna be hungry. Like I've been eating
Right.
tacos the past few days. I'm sitting over here thinking like, what can I order to the door to be delivered, like after we're done recording. What should I get crazy and eat?
Just cheese, just a cheese charcuterie board.
I want like a whole entire cheese charcuterie board to myself. Thank you very much.
There's no shame in that. There's no shame in that. It's Friday. My God, it's Friday,
Friday.
we got so off track. Where were we? April?
Yes, we were April. What was your April?
My apartment flooded.
Oh,
Oh
yeah.
my God. So, okay. I've had this weird thing about water, and I was getting terrified that maybe it was like my emotions or like something that was bringing water towards me, because like from April to June, anything to do with water was flooding, busting, like it was bad. Like everywhere I went, there was like flood, mass storm. I'm like, am I the rain goddess? What is going on? So honestly, this is weird. We have to talk about the whole like how I had to change how did I do my spells and my practice on another episode, because this was very interesting. And I did something stupid, and you're gonna laugh at me. But I was like, my partner is a like full-time touring musician. He's a drummer in four bands, and we plan to live together. And I'm just minding my own goddamn business in April, working away. And I'm like, oh, I gotta start like getting ready to pack. And there was one day where I was sitting there, mind you, we had like 4 days of rain, and I was like, oh, I just wish I had time today to like start packing. And I walked downstairs, and right in front of my bedroom door, it goes squoosh, like slosh. And the whole front of my apartment flooded. And immediately for 5 days, like my body was so sore. For 5 days, I had to like tear apart my bedroom, throw things out, pack everything up. My partner felt so bad because he said he was going to help me, and he was on tour in the States at the time. That was actually, he was supposed to visit you and hang out with you, and then they all got friggin' COVID and had to come back up to Canada. Like the show in Richmond didn't even happen. It was a rough tour for him to, you know. But and then I was just like, by the end of April, I was living in a rehearsal room on the other side of the house in a box fort, and I'm like, what just happened to my life? Just completely discombobulated. It was I just want to cry thinking about it. It was rough.
Did anything like end up smelling moldy from the water?
Luckily, my roommate, who is also the owner of the house, was like super smart, and he put down like all these risers in the front of the house. We didn't know what was going to happen. The foundation of the house split over the winter because we saw this, like, for those who don't have a frost line, but like we saw the middle of the house, we saw these giant cracks in the wall upstairs, and we're like, oh, like the front of the house fell forward. So the whole front of the house split, and all this, like, I'd say 2 to 4 inches of water came in. But he put everything like on a riser. The thing that could have got damaged but didn't was my shoes. Like, because I had all my shoes in the back of the closet, but luckily nothing got damaged. Like there were some boxes that had to be thrown out. They were moldy and it was disgusting.
Oh.
And yeah, it was not good. But I'm glad I'm not there anymore, because like there was definitely mold, and now like my headaches and like my vertigo have gone away. So I'm like, oh, this was like greatly affecting my sinuses. And as a singer, that's like the worst. So April was intense, and it was just kind of one of those things where like you feel forfeited at like what life in the universe has for you, because it's just like, oh no, you had a plan. I'm gonna come in and like completely mess you up. Yeah, and I wished it. I wished for it, and then I apparently willed in all that water. It
Dude, it's your fault.
is absolutely. It was rough. I have to find the photo and send you the photo. I actually have hoarding tendencies, and I had like just box upon like all these boxes for things I didn't need. And by the time I was done those 5 days, in the corner of the downstairs where we keep like some of the garbage we have to throw out, there was a pile of boxes folded up, like taller than me. And I'm like 5'3". And it was just like this mountain of boxes. My roommate's like, yeah, you definitely kicked your hoarding problem. I'm like, until next time.
Until next time.
And next place.
It kind of worked out though, because then when it was like time for you to move in with your boyfriend,
It was such an easy move.
yeah.
Like nothing got lost, nothing got broken. That is a win as like a move. And we got like the U-Haul, and he piled everything in, and it was like the easiest. It was like the easiest move of my life. And I'm the place I wanted, we got like the minute I walked into this part of Hamilton. For those who don't know, I used to live in Oshawa. If you have any idea where that is, it's on the east end of Toronto. Now I live on the west end of Toronto in Hamilton, where actually I was originally supposed to go to university, but universe works in mysterious ways. And we're in a valley, it's wild. Like I walked over this bridge over a train track into this area of Hamilton. Just for privacy reasons, I won't mention it because, like, I live right on that strip and I don't want any weirdos coming down here and looking for me.
No, we don't need that.
No, we don't need that. Okay, I want to keep some privacy for myself. But I walked over and I was like, oh my God, it's beautiful. It looks like a place in England. The street feels like Australia. Like, everyone is in such a good mood. It's a little bougie. I'm going to say it's a little out of my price range, but, like, whatever. But it's safe and clean. And I was like, I'm going to live here. When I move here, I'm going to live here. And I manifested the perfect little home. And we love it here. Like, I love where I live now. So yeah, the move was like hella easy, but that wasn't until like the end of May, June. And it was a lot, but you know what? My partner showed up hella hard. Now we live together and we just get to be in each other's space all the time and farting on each other and like hanging out in our underwear because we don't have air con this summer. But anyways, it's going good.
Oh my God. Is it like, are you sweaty as shit?
We're better now. We had two heat waves already of it going up to like, I don't know, because y'all have Fahrenheit, but like in Celsius, it was like 40 degrees for like a week here and a week there. And I was just lying on the floor with my cat in my underwear, just being like, oh, make it stop. We had an aircon unit, but it's broken. So
that's 104 degrees Fahrenheit.
With humidity. It was bad. It was bad. Yeah. But and like we, you know, when you get together with your partner, these all these bills that you share now, and we're getting through our pile of bills and we're like, okay, next summer we're investing in an aircon unit. We can't do this again. This was excruciating.
No, that is miserable. I mean, I've never lived anywhere that didn't already have air conditioning.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I miss it.
I would be fucking vicious.
Oh yeah. It made me realize I needed to like stop eating so much and get back into fitness and take care of myself, because summer with 20 extra pounds more than you're used to as a little person, it hits different.
As a little person?
Little person? Because, like, let's be real. If you're not, like, I wouldn't know what it's like to be tall. All I know is you'd have the privilege of reaching the top cupboard shelf. But, like, when you're a short person and you gain 20 pounds, it just all kind of stays in the middle and it gives you extra padding. And it's like, oh no, what happened?
Oh, it's miserable. I mean, it's been like really hot here, but apparently there's like a hurricane or something that apparently like whooped up the East Coast last night. I was like dead asleep. And then I woke up today and everybody was like, there's down trees. And I was like, I must have slept like a rock because I didn't hear anything.
It'd be like the end of the world and Brooke's just sleeping through it.
No,
it's for the apocalypse and you're just snoring in bed.
I was dead asleep. I was just like, what do you guys mean? Like damage was done. But yeah, Jackson like called me today and he was like, what are you just weren't gonna tell me that there was like a whole ass like hurricane like, while I'm gone?
Category 4, maybe? What was it?
I was like, was there? I
didn't. Literally, right there with you, we live in a valley and we miss everything. Everyone's like, oh, it's going to flood. It's going to rain. It's going to be a thunderstorm. We're just sitting here like, okay. Like, like what? Like the weather app is always wrong here. It's like, wild.
Fucking win.
You know.
Nothing.
What?
Nothing.
Oh my God. So... that was like my May. What happened to you in May, Missy?
What did happen to me in May? May. I don't think anything really specific happened. I didn't go any. Did I go somewhere? May? No, I didn't go anywhere in May. I started apartment searching. Found a new apartment. Right. I had to start this current lease a whole entire month early because I didn't want to lose the apartment, so I was paying rent. But it was totally worth it to be back in the area of Richmond that like I want to be in, and Yeah, so the whole entire month of May, I was literally just taking boxes back and forth and back and forth, like emptying them here,
Oh
taking them back
God.
to the old apartment. So that was like fucking annoying. But as of June 8th, I finished moving. And yeah, so that was my May. Nothing special at all. The
So
June.
just right,
June.
June.
My friend and I went to Boston for the Lana Fenway concert the day before her birthday.
So jelly. Oh my
And
God, girl.
girl, don't even be, because this, out of all, this is the third time I saw her, this was the worst time.
You look hot.
That's the least I could do. That's the fucking least I could do. Man. If you're listening and you were at the Fenway concert, which there's a good chance at least a few of y'all were, because that was like 40,000 fucking people, you know what a mess it was. Like, it started storming. The show got delayed 3 hours. Everybody had to go underneath the stadium. Like, I watched like at least 15 people get rolled out on stretchers because of the heat wave. Just everybody tightly compressed like a freaking can of sardines, and it was just downpour, like constant fucking sheets of rain, absolute miserable heat, like sweat just pouring down my chest, like my, like in between my boobs,
Oh.
really sweaty. And like, that's how I know when I've got like a drop of sweat going down between my boobs, that's when I'm about to get pissed off, because that's the level of heat that like I am just like, if anybody gets near me, if anybody says anything to me, if anybody tries to tell me that this is not like as bad as I think it is, someone's gonna get fucking hit in the face. Because that's another thing that I didn't realize until just this year. I've been on Lexapro for 4 years now. I did not realize it makes your body even more sensitive to heat. Did not know
Oh
that.
no.
So I already get really hot really easily, and like I just shut down in that moment. So like, mix with an SSRI out there, and like, it was, God, we were like in direct sunlight. It was such a bad ex no. And so then the show was supposed to be 2 hours long. Like, it was the her surprise Fenway, like Fenway Park show, like the day before her birthday.
Oh my word.
Because of the delay, it got pushed back, so we only got 45 minutes of what was supposed to be a 2 hour long show because of the Fenway Park fucking curfew. Every minute over is apparently like $10,000 or something.
That's
And so,
horrible.
yeah, so she did play past 10, but just like barely. The cool thing was, she brought out like Quavo, and like, you know, we got to hear like Tough for the first time ever. That was amazing. But like, this is another, like, I didn't get. I was like, she brought out the fucking yodeling kid from Walmart.
What was up with that?
I don't know. I mean, his voice is beautiful. It just, like, you could tell the entire crowd was just kind of like, we don't really want to hear this. Like, we kind of just wanted to hear her.
Her manager owed his manager a favor. It was a back-end industry move. That poor girl is just a trooper in the game of the music industry.
It was an inside job. And then she also brought out who the fuck? She brought out the guy that sings Georgia, the song that's like, I would never fall in love again.
Yeah, I found you.
And it
Yeah.
was beautiful. It was beautiful. Don't get me wrong. I really did enjoy listening to them sing together, but I was just like, what the fuck? Like, she didn't play. God, there were so many things that she'd been playing on tour that we didn't get to hear at all. Like, she played
Heartbreaking.
most of the songs she played, I had already heard her play years ago when I saw her in 2014, and then when I saw her again in, like 2016 or something. And I was just like, damn, dude. Like, and I knew that she was disappointed. I could tell that she was bummed out, because it's supposed to be like her special like fucking birthday show, and it's like her first like real stadium concert. But
Right.
oh my God, it was I covered our plane tickets and our hotel room, and then my friend covered our tickets, and I was just like, I hope to God they offer like some type of refund, you know, because everybody was
Something.
like, they didn't, nothing.
Not
And
even a partial refund.
not even a partial refund. And just 2 days ago, I finally got my merch delivered that I ordered 2 months ago because we didn't want to stand in line in like 100 something degree heat to get merch. So we pre-ordered it the morning of the concert, thinking like, oh,
Holy shit.
yeah, I didn't even get it until a couple days ago. I'm just like, the fucking novelty's worn off.
I'm so over this. And I remember you posted on your story. It was like a full moon that night, or was it the eclipse? It was like the night of a super moon or something. You're like, yo, shit's whack.
Yeah, I'm literally, I was, I think I had taken a picture of it. I'm just like, I know this got something to do with it. Something's going on.
That's so sad to hear. That's so like unfortunate, because like I would just want to hear her like old stuff. No offense to the new stuff, but like just it sounded like she was really on her TikTok game.
God. Oh my, yeah, she really, she must have, somebody must have owed somebody favors, 'cause what the hell was that? Tough is such a bop, and it's just so funny to me, like all these people who like clearly never listened to her like back in like 2011, like don't know that like she's always been like with the shits with like rap and stuff. They're like, what is she doing? Why is she with Quavo? Girl, she has been hanging out with rappers. She has been like doing all this shit for years. This is our sparkle jump rope queen, okay? This is
Yeah.
literally
Do you
like,
not know?
do you not get with the fucking times? I hope she never.
No. Okay. So, I don't know. I think she's married to some weird Christian dude. But my sister is a Lana stan. I am too, but I'm just too healed and old to like care about much these days. And she's so mad that all these Taylor Swift fans now like know who Lana is, and they're freaking out about her. She's like, "Bitch, I listened to her back in 2012. Like none of you know." Like,
Yes, that's how I feel. I feel very, I hate to be gatekeepy like that. I really do, but I sometimes will do it, and I'll be like, all right, Pisces moon, stop, calm down. You need to, Virgo rising, you cannot control other people's likes. I feel that way about Chappell Roan because I listened to her back in fucking like 2019 or 2018, and now everyone's like,
right.
Chappell Roan. I'm like, I know she's great, but leave her alone.
Your face right now is terrifying.
Well, like, people are not.
She's fine.
She's fucking mine. I was screaming knee deep in the passenger seat years ago. But like, for the thing is also what really worries me is like, poor girl. She was just on that podcast recently where she was talking about like she's already gotten so famous to the point where she already wants to quit because she's like, I don't want to have this job forever. It's such an emotional, like, stressful job. I have bipolar 2 disorder. It's too much for
Oh,
me.
wow.
People,
Yeah.
it's like people found her sister's workplace and her parents' house. Like, do not take this amazing woman from us. Do not, don't fucking ruin it for everybody. God,
What have you done?
fuckers, don't ruin this for me. We're just gonna turn this into a music critic podcast, and it's just gonna be
That's fine.
not music.
We're talking about witchy bitches and music. It's fine. It's true though. I've been there, and like I was, I don't have bipolar or anything. I got the tism, and it was hard enough like being on the road all the time with the tism and like masking and being presentable and lovely to everyone, and then you go back to your bunk at night and you're like, I'm so fucking exhausted, and I have to wake up in 7 hours and do it all over again, another 16-hour day. Like it's hard. It's very hard. It's beautiful. But it's like you're a slave to the game. So, you either really want it or like you don't. But I just hope that Miss Chapel can like find a way to get a good team around her who supports her with her mental health and living that lifestyle. But it's terrifying. Fame is a monster. Gaga had it right.
Yeah. Do
Yeah.
you ever think about like stars like Gaga that kind of just like they were God, Gaga was so huge in like middle school and high school, and then all of a sudden I just feel like she just like disappeared, and I almost feel like it's like that's what she wanted.
Yeah, she got really sick too. Shit, what's the name of the thing? Now it's gonna drive me nuts.
It's not
The
MS.
one, it's no, but it's something like that where it like it, you have body pains, and as a dancer and singer, like she just, there's a
Oh.
whole documentary on Netflix about it.
Fibromyalgia.
That's the one. That's the one. I'm not a doctor, but that's the one. So yeah, it's tough, and to have like a, you know, an illness like that. Like I was so stressed out near the end of my traveling career with the band that like I had like autoimmune arthritis. And I couldn't fall asleep at night because my sternum and my ankles and my wrists were so sore that like the pain was so bad I just like couldn't sleep. And then you know you're not sleeping at compounds, so it's, yeah, it's very, very stressful. I just hope she's okay because she's like the new Cyndi Lauper.
Oh.
We need a gay, colorful pop star like her. Like the world needs her and her art, you know?
For real, I just got chills when you said that. She literally, like, there is nobody else that I feel right now has that type of stage presence. Like, nobody. Like, none of the pop girlies have that. And I wish that Taylor Swift would get her foot off these girls' necks. And stop re-releasing every song she has 30 fucking times when other people are trying to just have their shit seen on the charts.
Testify. Like legit, legit. That is a problem. T Swift needs to calm the fuck down. Let them have their time.
She's been, I mean, good God, girl's been on tour for like 30 years at this point.
I know. And you're not the only person to call her out. Like, shout out to like Shallon Lester. I watch her YouTube sometime and she has a huge problem with T Swift and is like, oh my goodness, like why is she not giving like Charlie and who's Sabrina Carpenter and all these other like pop girlies a chance to like get a number one? Like why you gotta be so mean? But she is like the most famous popular person on the face of the planet right now. It's
Yeah.
like she does what she wants. So
I just feel
sorry
like
if
being
sorry.
popular for so fucking long.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. But anyway. Shout
Ugh.
out to the pop girlies.
Shout out to the pop girlies. We're behind you guys 100%. I currently have like six or seven Chapel Roan t-shirts and sweatshirts in my closet. And I'm
It's
not.
dedication.
It really is. Like, I feel like I'm going, like I said, I'm going through my healing girl, like healing my inner child moment, doing things that like I would have wanted to do when I was younger, but had too much anxiety or was too in my head about it. Like, listening to like pop music all the time, being like, all of a sudden I'm like super into Pink again. Like, hello, fucking, like, I make candles now. I also made candles. I made a brat themed candle last night called Bumpin' That. It's bright lime green. I made a hot pink one called We're Leaving the Planet and You Can't Come. If you know, you fucking know. Like, I am very much into doing all of these things and wearing these things and like being like a big fucking like fangirl over pop queens like I would have wanted to be when I was a kid. But I was like, oh my God, no, that's not cool. I don't give a fuck no more. I'm cool no matter what I do. So. That's how I feel about that.
I love that for you.
That's th that on that. I'm only, and then I turn 29, and I'm just like, it's now or never, bitch. And I'm
It
gonna
is.
act like I'm 50 too. You will
You're
act
gonna
this.
what when you're 50? Say that again.
I'm gonna act this way when I'm 50. I'm gonna be flying down the interstate at 50 years old, like Hong Kong beep beep, get out of my way, singing Pink Pony Club. Like it's just gonna be that way.
That's how it should be. It only gets better as you get older. Like the amount of fucks I don't have anymore. It's so peaceful. It's so peaceful. So I mean, you text me the other night, you're like, bitch, we're back. We're recording. I was like, oh my God, I'm excited. Nothing gets me excited anymore. I'm too healed and jaded for any excitement.
Nothing like sitting and listening to your own voice.
Especially on day one of the cycle, all that testosterone. I'm just like, hello, hello, Brooke.
Hello, it is me. Hello.
It is I. That's like the queen of darkness.
I will
Oh
also,
my gosh.
while it's when you showed me that book, I messaged the author on Instagram and asked if she wants to be on the show just now.
Which we're going to talk about that off air. We have so much to talk about. Guys, we have so many fucking plans for this podcast. Big things coming soon.
Big things are coming soon. We are super excited and we're feeling rejuvenated. We're feeling energized. It's crazy what a little bit of AI can do.
Oh my word. Oh my God, guys. I almost feel like you should throw up the duds on the story, on the wishful thinking story.
The duds.
Why do I look like a man? I look like I legit have man parts in one of them with the jeans. I was like, what happened? But
you look like a really, really like hot lesbian aunt. I thought cool. You looked good. I thought it was a fucking vibe. But some of them you looked crazy. Like this one.
Yeah.
This
My
one.
Melted hands.
Why is your head detached from your neck?
That looks like a Sears catalog photo from like the 80s. It's so bad. Yeah. So Brooks is like, I don't know. Like, you know, you were like, I don't know. Why don't we start? I'm not cool with the branding. I'm like, so we make a temporary branding. And you're like, I'm going to avoid this work meeting. Put us through AI. And I'm like, that's not what I said, Brooks. Okay. This girl and I am on the AI machine. She's sending me.
Well, I had to do something. This would have been my go-to if it had worked. Like, I really liked the idea of getting us, like, AIing us in black dresses in, like,
right.
Vogue poses. But look at the hands. I couldn't have done that.
The flippers. Yeah. The AI cannot get hands. It's having a hard time with hands. And just, you sent me my head on so many not my bodies, and I was like, uh-oh.
Dude. None of these, I feel like these bodies that I AI'd were very, 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 like, it was like 17-year-old bodies, but like with our heads on them. I'm just like, it's just too, it just looked too skinny.
Yeah, but I don't know if I'll ever get back there. That one was good, but then I was like, I'm a size zero there.
Dude, I don't see it. I'm just like, I just
was good.
My brain is just looking like, oh my God, the face looks like Lindsay. Then my freaking nose got overly snatched, and I'm just like, fuck it.
It's the lighting, quote unquote. The lighting. It's fine. It was a good AI like do up. I just think it's really, you were just on it and then it was out there and then you updated everything. And I'm like, well, there we are.
I got Lindsay's okay on it first. I was like, okay, do we like this? Yes, no. Oh, you like it? Cool.
I was along for the ride. You were having too much fun with AI, so I'm like, okay. At least it wasn't like a year ago where like people were having like random eyeballs pop out of their chin when they were like putting themselves through AI.
AI has come a long way in the past year or so. I will say that. And it's only getting better or scarier or worse, depending on how you want to look at it. But like, it does the trick when you are not transcontinental, because we're on the same
night. Exactly. I'll come visit you soon. I still have notes in my calendar on trips and stuff, but we will do our photo shoot in person. But hey, listen, while we're on the topic of AI, I do have some positive news about AI. They're developing a software that can detect like a spot in your boobs where like breast cancer may already be forming. Sorry, I can't talk anymore. And they can actually like get it before it gets to like stage 3 or 4 breast cancer. Like there's like AI is already predicting spots in your boobs based on like the shots of where like the itty bitty little monster is forming. So that's amazing. That's what AI should be used for.
Yeah.
Like imagine how many lives we're gonna save, probably save our lives in the future. So like AI is not it's not gonna take our jobs, guys. Calm down.
Yes, dude, AI makes my job so much easier.
Like, oh, yeah.
Come on, dude. Anybody who's still for AI, the robots are taking over. If you don't shut up and get yourself a Roomba, let the robots take over, you lazy bitch.
It's like, Skynet. And I'm like, oh, please, please. If you have time to worry about Skynet, you ain't happy with your life. Like, calm down.
God, what is Skynet?
Now I'm forgetting. I want to say it's from Terminator.
Artificial neural network based conscious group mind. Oh, the from the Terminator?
I think that's where it's from. I might have got that pop
Nope, you're
culture
right.
riff. Yay, go me. Oh my God, the brain still works. Yes, yeah, it's from Terminator. It's like that's what everyone's afraid of. I'm like, no, we're like it's in the infant stages. It's a baby. It's still figuring its shit out. It's really funny though, like in my day job. For what I do, I get like suggestive text for like marketing, and it's so funny. Are you ready to unleash your aggression with this new metal band? Like that's like the first prompt it always go to, and I'm like, no AI, calm down. Like we're not.
Yeah, tell it to back the fuck up a little bit and calm down.
Like apparently, marketing heavy metal is always aggressive, but oh my
Are
word.
you ready to beef up your
I'd love to see like what the suggested prompts for marketing like burgers or like shoes are. I might do that next week at my job and send you screenshots of like what it's trying to tell me to do on how to sell different items, but it's there, but it's not there. But yeah, so we have a temporary little rebrand and I'm stoked. I want to share more about like my spell casting, my rituals, and I got so many stories for you, girl. I'm just excited for the months to come. We should ask our little cosmic coven what they want episodes on. Maybe we can like tap into some topics. You guys go to our Facebook group.
Yeah,
Go
go to
join.
our
Go
Facebook group.
write. Yeah.
Go join it. Wait, I just realized. So we have a message from your friend on Instagram.
Which one?
the one that gave you, or no, the one that you gave their first dress, Sarah.
Oh, Miss Sarah. Hi, Miss Sarah. Hi,
So
sweetheart.
Sarah wrote us a message, which, by the way, hold on, before I read this, guys, if you ever want to send us messages, don't forget we have the Dear Fairy Godmother email that is in our description of the podcast. It's also in every episode like description as well. It's dearfairygodmother@gmail.com. You can write in to your godmother, Lindsay.
Yeah, you need some advice? You need some tough love? Oh my God. I wish I could talk about it on the pod right now, but someone in my life is going through some shit and I'm about to give them tough love on Sunday. Might end the friendship, but
Well, sometimes you gotta
yeah.
stay.
True love is setting people straight. I don't care what anyone says.
Sarah says, I've often been told by psychics and other spiritual people that I should do manifestation practices because I apparently have a good energy for it. The problem is, I'm not at all familiar with manifesting. I've practiced a lot of different spiritual beliefs, have done deity and entity work on and off for years, spent way too much time researching different practices and even have done some altered forms of ceremonial magic, but yet for some reason, manifestation work is not something I've ever tried. I was wondering if I could get some advice on how to start doing it. Thanks, girlies. Oh, do I have some advice? Fuck you, girl.
I want to hear you go first. You go first.
Manifesting is one of the hardest and most fun things in the world, because the second that you realize that your shit worked, you're like, damn, I'm so powerful. I'm so powerful. The first thing that I would say is honestly, like, there's so many resources out there about it. I would really pick, like, I'd find like a good book, like a solid book on like the law of attraction, and I'd start there because that's how I learned about the law of attraction and manifesting. And the book is actually, I'm gonna give you like the exact title. I mean, I think it's like, what the hell is it? It's Law of Attraction.
Is it The Secret or no?
No, that is what popped up though. That is
Of
like a very
course.
classic one. I could never get into it, but
It's like the kindergarten version, which there's nothing wrong with that.
start out, yeah, you know what? Like, we're all children at heart. Just like, you gotta start out somewhere.
Yeah, you know?
It might have been the Esther and Jerry Hicks.
Oh, I have one of her books somewhere. It literally might be called Law of Attraction. Hold on. You're gonna hear me, but I'm gonna go off screen.
Oh.
I have a massive book collection in my new apartment. It's buried, but it is literally called like if you hear a bunch of books falling, you'll know why.
Oh my gosh, do not hurt yourself.
Oh, Honey, don't worry.
There's literally so many out there, but I know that that one is like super popular. So it'll teach you like the basics of it. I think the hardest thing that a lot of people like struggle with is the idea of like you've got to envision something as already being yours. Yes, that one. That's exactly the one. Law of
The law
attraction.
of attraction, the basics of the teachings of Abraham, which, like, oh my God, I love those recordings. They're all over YouTube. Esther and Jerry Hicks. Yeah, I haven't even read it. I've listened to a lot of this, like, audio form on YouTube. So fantastic.
Yeah, it's like I've never listened to the audio, but I just remember like reading that and being like, oh my God, I could really try this. But like pretty much any book you pick up is gonna tell you like the basic like steps. So, deciding what you want, setting a positive intention for it, like understanding that it's possible and somewhere along the line it's already come true for you, it's already yours, whether it's like you've got like your dream job or you've got a check for like $3,000 randomly in the mail, like whatever. Probably, some stuff is going to be in there about like you've got to take inspired action, like to show the universe you really want it. You have to be grateful for it, even though you don't physically see it yet here. Like, that's what's so magical about it, and also what's so difficult about it. But once you master the law of detaching yourself from the outcome, that's when shit just like floods in.
Yes. Yeah, you it's none of your business how you're going to get it. Just let it go. Stop trying to control the narrative. It's going to surprise you. It is.
Trying to control the narrative. That is that part. That part.
It's
Let's just
tough
say
though.
this. Stop trying to control the narrative and maintain a positive mindset about it. I think like a one way to like kind of imbue this physically is after you set your intention, getting rid of it in some way that feels like just like spiritually sound to you. Like I like to burn shit.
Yeah.
That's me giving it like back to the universe and being like, okay, I've set my intention. I know that this is coming to me. Don't really care how it happens. Just like I'm specific. It's coming to me. Burn it and like that's it. And then before I know it, shit pops up. I've manifested some crazy shit.
You have. I have too. I've manifested so far everything I want. I need a new, I've been telling people for so long, I need a new bucket list. This all happens, but I like your perspective on it. Mine has been when I really want something, I've been taking a sacred space for myself twice a day for like 5 minutes to just really sit in it and feel it and visualize it. Like I knew before, especially if you're a big dreamer, like when I was younger, when I'd lay down at night and go to sleep, I'd like put on music and I'd dream about me being on tour and visualize me being on the stage singing like all over the world in front of tens of thousands of fans. And that happened, which is wild because I was just like, I love it so much. I want it to happen so badly. And maybe it was coming from a place of a little bit of desperation, but it was a genuine, pure intention. But I go to my sacred place and I live in it and I sit in it and I visualize myself in the position of like, this is what I want. This is what the day looks like. This is the feeling. And I live in it as if it's already there. And I feel like that draws it towards you, especially at big asks, if you have to like ask for it on the daily. But it also feels good. And then it reminds you, it's like, it's almost like an intentional, like, it gives you gratitude, it gives you motivation. It reminds you if you're not feeling it that day to have the discipline to work towards it and like move yourself towards the mountain, whatever your goal is. I'm more like a goal-oriented manifester, when it comes to little things, and my partner just hates it because he's like, yeah, that's gonna happen, whether I like it or not. He'll be like, one little thing, I'll be like, we're getting a love seat. It's going to look like this. It's going to be like this. It's only going to cost $200. And I found it and we went and got it that day. Material things, just so easy. Little material things, like they show up the minute. He's like, the minute you decide you want something, it shows up. I'm like, I know. So
Fear
it's just,
me.
Yeah, it's great, but it's just like when you're like, that's it, I've decided that. And then you just all of a sudden have this like blind, stupid confidence that it's gonna happen. You don't second guess it, you don't worry about it. That's when like that's it. I love that you burn something after. Do you write it down and burn it? Is that how you do it? That's
Yeah,
so cool.
I've definitely written things. I've done like a few different techniques where one of them I think was like writing down my intention, writing down what I want for myself, or writing down what I have already for myself, like X amount of times for like X amount of days straight. Like I've done the 50 by 5 rule, which is like 5 days, you write it 50 times, or like you can do that with any number of times or any number of days. Just depends on like how long your wrist can hold up,
I
but
got chills. That is so powerful.
it
Wow.
is, dude. That's what I did back when I did YouTube. Like that was what I did because I was trying. This was like back when like everybody was still doing YouTube really often, or that was like a big thing like before, you know, TikTok and everything. And I was really trying to manifest like a specific type of following. And I was trying to manifest within like a year and a half, like I'm going to reach 10,000 subscribers on X day, and it's going to be like a audience or a community of like supportive, like kind people who treat each other with respect and like blah blah blah. Because you know, people can get like crazy and like YouTuber influencer kind of like comments. Like the Discord can just be weird. I wanted like a
Oh,
specific
yeah.
type of people following me. And I hit 10,000 subscribers. Granted, by the time I hit it, when I did hit it, I was like, oh yeah, I knew that was gonna happen. And I wasn't even making videos anymore. I didn't even care anymore. Fuck it, I don't care. But yeah, it's like it's definitely something that it takes practice, and you're gonna probably catch yourself being like, oh my God, like it's not happening yet. And if you feel that way, then like, yeah, it's not happening yet because you truly didn't believe that it was like meant for you to begin with. If you're
Yeah, you
sick.
were doubting it. Or it just, you know, another thing on my journey with manifesting, I did vision board. I still do vision boards. I have a new vision board. And like, I think it might be my last one because, like, I don't know, man. Those things always, it's like it's a Ouija board in a twisted way for me. You know, like some weird shit happens. But like, there was specific requests I had to sing with certain bands or certain singers or work with certain people. And the universe says, like, what does it say? That it's like, no, but not now, but not yet. It's not, or like a, it's like not yet. It's a yes, but not now. But then there's the other side of it. It's like where rejection is protection. Have you heard about that? And that, like, later on in my years of, you know, going through everything and getting to know everyone and hearing like these people are awesome, these people are not awesome, and within my industry, there were certain things that didn't happen. And I'm like, I'm so grateful I didn't work with that band or I didn't work with that person because they were just on the outside on the internet. Everything looks like, oh, so fabulous and bubbly and like everyone's having a good time. But then you hear like how not good these people are and how people have quit the industry because of how horribly they were treated. And I'm like, oh my God, if my first gig was that thing there, I would not be singing and in the industry anymore. So like you have to trust that the universe has your back. Like sometimes when you're like, I want this thing, and then it doesn't give it to you, there's a reason. And then you find out years later, oh, like the universe, your ancestors, your grandparents, whoever's on the other side watching over you was protecting you hard. You think you need that thing. You think you want it, but if it doesn't happen, trust, just trust. There's something going on out there behind the scenes.
Yeah, sometimes you gotta thank the universe for everything it didn't give you, everything it
Oh,
refused to give you.
yeah. But oh boy, did it give me a lot of trauma. No, it's good. I'm grateful. Once you get in the headspace of it happened for me, it didn't happen to me, you get out of that. We talked about this last night a bit, like the whole Pisces placement with victimhood. When you're just like, oh no, like it made me stronger and smarter, and I have everything I have now because of it, instead of like, oh, they were so mean to me. Everyone's out to get me. You know,
Yeah, I
like,
feel like that's also the difference between like developed and undeveloped aspects of a trait. So like when people are like, oh, I hate Pisces, I hate Scorpios. I hate blah, blah. I'm like, no, what you hate is like the undeveloped energy. You've come into contact with too many underdeveloped Pisces or too many underdeveloped Sagittarius. I am one of those people that will be hating on a Sagittarius man till the day that I die.
They're
But,
insane.
because y'all are fucking crazy, but I know better. I just choose not to act better.
No, and when someone's like good and they're like in the good part of their sign and they're healed, like all the signs are awesome. They are. I have friends under all signs, combinations, moons, rising. They're awesome. But you know, there are certain signs, like for the all of my 20s, I couldn't stand Scorpio men. I was like, y'all evil players, get away from me. Don't care how charming and bad boy you are, get away.
No, get
Yeah.
away for good
Yes,
reason.
stay far away.
Smelly asses.
Oh
But
my
yeah, I
God.
think obviously
Smelly
manifestation is
asses.
something that we talk about like so much on this show. I feel like at some point we should try and like work it into a series of some sort if you guys would be like interested in that. I feel like there's so many aspects of it, like from manifesting physical things to manifesting like the love of your life, manifesting new friends, new jobs, money, like being
Opportunities.
opportunities, like your dream home, getting super specific with like vision boards and like, you know, when specific is like not specific enough and like what am I doing wrong? Blah 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 blah. I think there's just so much opportunity there that we should probably like tap into that, you know, for you guys. We'll do like the work so you don't have to.
You know, we'll hurt ourselves so you don't have to.
We'll hurt ourselves so you don't have to. Self-sacrifice. So Pisces.
I
So
love my
martyr.
sun sign. It's so much. That's the name of my album, okay?
Martyr?
Yeah, Martyr is the name of my debut album.
Get the fuck out.
Dying for what you believe in. I was such a drama queen back then. You know that we'll talk about it after, but I actually know like some manifestation coaches. I think we should get some here on the podcast because they're hella rad and full of nuggets, full of little nuggies, little knowledge nuggies. Oh my gosh, can we close with something hilarious about what I did? I hurt myself. No, what I did this past weekend.
What
I
did you
have
do?
a story.
What did
We
you
have, so there's this festival here in Hamilton called Festival of Friends, and that's kind of like where me and my partner realized like we like each other. And a year later, here I am living here and we're together. But he's such a goon. He like dropped a hint that I was his type at this festival because there's a lot of like there's all these vendors and there's a lot of like taxidermy and like you know fortune tellers and mediums. It's like it's pretty much just like a psychic fair, new age fair, and you can go get your tie-dye towels and whatever you need. There's candles, there's everything. It's lovely. It was bigger this year too, and it was super cool. So we went, and I was just like, you know, like, fuck it, we ball. Like, I just gave up. I was like, all right, I'm gonna go to this guy and he's gonna give me a reading. Turned out I thought it was gonna be a card reading. Goddamn, he mediumed me and he's talking to my grandparents, and I'm sitting there like crying. I'm like,
Oh my God.
why do you gotta talk to my grandma's right now? Like, I'm sitting there getting this reading from this guy, and he told me about my life so hard. He's like, you need to commit to yourself. Like, you're not committing to yourself, and that's why things aren't working out for you, and you're not tapped into your full potential. And I'm like, why you gotta call me? It's just my grandmother's like coming through you. Like, you know what mediums are like. You know what mediums are like. And I was like he said some stuff that like only my grandmas would say, and I'm just like, okay, I'm a little emotional now. But he gave me a really good reading. And then shout out to the Witch's Fix. I love this store out here in Hamilton. The girlies there are just awesome. They're just like these rad, badass entrepreneurial witches who open their own shop and they're just owning it. So I went to visit them, and I don't even know her name. She's just this beautiful redhead who's all over their socials. And she gave me a reading with a very old deck that's been like passed down from generation to generation. And then she gives him like, why am I doing two readings in one day? I guess like after the medium type reading where he's like, you need to commit to yourself before you can commit to anything else. I'm like, yes, okay, I know. I'll start getting out of bed at 8 in the morning. God damn it.
Oh my God, leave me.
Like, leave me alone. I'm like, I just want a chill card reading. So I go to her, and she gave me a reading, was just like, oh, And I'm like, no, don't do that. And the sun card is always coming up as the be all and end all. It's like, you're gonna be happy. The sun card. And my question to her was like, what do I do after I finish my next album? And she's like, it's gonna take a long time. Like, you need patience. The temperance card came up, and I was like, God damn it. Like, first of all, you're telling me I gotta like, to commit to myself, okay? Like, the only thing I can commit to is my overnight oats subscription every month. And then now you're telling me I gotta be patient. I was like, I have three placements in Sagittarius. I don't know patience.
Oh no.
So that guy's like, I went and hurt myself. I got two readings in one day at a festival, and
You
I
knew
came
better.
home. Oh, I know. Listen,
You fucking knew better.
I needed an adrenaline hit. Nothing gets me excited anymore. Okay. So I just went, and I was like, I'm just gonna have fun here and see what happens. But I trust both of them. They were very genuine readings, but it's like, it's gonna be a long journey. And you know what? The music industry is on its head. So like, give me 5 years, and then maybe I'll be up there chaperone if she wants to stick around. Okay.
Dude, please, 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 please stick around. I have too much Chapel Roan merch for her to not stick around. I
Don't
need
worry,
it.
she'll take like a 5 year break and then she'll come back bigger than ever. That's what they all do.
Oh, we'll see. We will see. I
Oh,
don't know
my
if we I
goodness.
don't know if we're still gonna do Ostara eggs for
I
the
mean, do you want to just for like this episode, and then we'll see next time. If you got this far.
You got this far, go to the newest post on our Instagram page for this
We're
episode.
back, witches.
Granted, if you're listening to this when it goes live, because normally I publish these at 7 a.m. If you're listening to these when it goes live, the post might not be up yet. But if you are listening to it around 11 a.m., the post will be up. So go comment an emoji underneath the most recent post, and the emoji should be a
There's
microphone.
a microphone, okay.
Any of the microphones, since we talked so much
Any of
about
them. We talked about our pop ladies. I was gonna give a different one, but we'll give it for another episode, and it'll be really funny. I'll save that one for later.
I already know what the title of this fucking episode is gonna be. I just decided it.
I'm excited. Well,
Anyway, I'll talk to you next week.
can't wait. We're back,
Bye.
girlies. Bye.